Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Yakima, Washington, earned a degree in secondary education from Oakland University, and a master's in sports administration from Wayne State University. Arguably the most accomplished student-athlete in Oakland University history, he earned 24 All-American honors and won 13 individual national championships. He spent 11 years as the head coach of Oakland University's women's swimming and diving program, and since 2007, he's been the director of athletics at Oakland University. His name, Tracy Huth. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to Tracy Huth, the director of athletics at Oakland University, and a fantastic human being. Tracy, honored to have you.
Jack, my pleasure. It's my honor to be with you today.
Can you talk to us about growing up in Yakima? This is the first guest we've ever had in 8 years on this show, from Yakima, Washington, and your childhood and your mom and your dad.
Sure. Yeah. Well, if you've ever ate a Washington apple, there's a good possibility it's from the Yakima Valley. That's really what it's known for. A small town, 50, 60,000 people on the east side of the Cascade Mountains, about 2.5 hours from Seattle, and that's where I was born and raised. My folks, I was one of five siblings. Unfortunately, by the time I was born, I had one sibling that had already passed away, and then another one not too long after that. My parents were just good, hardworking, honest people. My father owned his own business in the flooring company, and my mom worked for the Social Security Administration. Like a lot of people, I'd have to tell you, my mother was probably the sweetest person in the world.
What sports did you play, Tracy, as a kid?
A lot, actually. I think maybe kind of the norm at that point. Basketball, baseball, played some soccer. And then from the time I was just a little kid, we all swam. It was important. We had a place that we'd go to on a lake, and so it was important to our family, our parents, that we knew how to conduct ourselves around the water. So at a very early age, we all got introduced to that. And so as time went on, my brother decided he was going to join the swim team. So what do you do when your big brother does something? You say, I'm going to do that too. And that's how I got started.
You had scholarship offers from many schools in California, Washington, etc. Why did you ever choose this Oakland University in Rochester, Michigan?
Well, I had received some information from Oakland and initially just kind of passed it off, probably like anyone in Yakima, Washington, had no idea what Oakland University was or even where it was located. Late in the recruiting process, my senior year in high school, I had intended to make my decision in the spring of that year. I get a call from a coach named Ernie Maglisco. And Ernie was a very successful, very well-known coach, primarily at the college level, had done a lot of work with Doc Councilman and a lot of other famous swim coaches at the time. He was a real technician, the biomechanics of swimming. And he had been the coach at Cal State Chico for a number of years, was no longer coaching there. And then all of a sudden, he calls and says, I'm the new coach at Oakland University in Michigan. I'd like to talk to you about being basically my first recruit. And so after that, just meeting with him, I met him, sat down with him for a couple of hours at the YMCA National Championships that spring, and he pretty much had me sold that's where I wanted to go. That's who I wanted to swim for.
Not only were you his first recruit, you were also his best ever recruit. You earned 24 All-American honors. You won 13 individual national championships. You're a four-time national champion, the 200 and 400-yard individual medley. And you were named NCAA Division II Swimmer of the Year three times. What do you remember about those days, Tracy?
Well, I mean, those were some of the best days of my life. Certainly your college teammates, and you're just going through this phase of your life in college. And for me, it was being in Michigan, meeting new people, being in a part of the country and competing in parts of the country that I'd never been before. So the opportunities just to experience that were unbelievable. Having been born and raised in a completely different part of the country, in order to then have that opportunity was something that I'll always cherish. And some of my best friends to this day, my coaches I stay in contact with, obviously. Our coach after Ernie was Pete Hovland, who's still at Oakland, very successful. As you go through that, I was very blessed, fortunately had enough talent and was surrounded by a group of guys that wanted to work hard and be successful. And Ernie was considered one of the best technicians in the sport, really in the world, number of books and articles and journals. And so I was just very fortunate to be in that type of situation.
Tracy Huth, you've been around great athletes your whole life. What do all great athletes have in common?
I think it's their level of passion. Their passion to be successful is unheralded. And I don't believe they look back. They don't worry about what happened in necessarily their last competition, whether they won or lost that competition. They've got a drive and a desire and passion that you just don't find in everyday people. And it's just a level of commitment and a passion, and I think a love for what they do. And when I talk about love, a lot of times I think one of the aspects of love that people don't realize a lot of times is discipline. And these great athletes all have a level of discipline, and they will do whatever is necessary involved in that discipline to be successful.
Speaking of a passion, discipline, a couple of weeks ago, Michael Jordan turned 50. And when you think of him, that will to win, talk to us about willing to win.
Well, use Michael Jordan as an example and his will to play basketball, to be involved in that sport, because he loved it so much, he had such a passion for it. Initially gets cut from his high school team and sticks with it. Can't even make the varsity initially. And my son actually said, we were watching a thing about the Michael Jordan turning 50 and all that, and he said, imagine if Michael Jordan were to just decided to quit that first time he gets cut or doesn't make his varsity team. There would be no MJ. There would be no everything that he's done, and arguably the best basketball player and maybe one of the best athletes we've ever seen.
A great trivia question is, what's the name of that high school coach that cut Michael Jordan? And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Rasula, and we're with arguably the greatest student athlete in Oakland University history, who went there in 1980. 33 years later, you look just as young as the day you entered, and you're the director of athletics. Tell us, Tracy Huth, about Oakland University.
Well, Oakland University, back in my day, it was a Division II school, about 9,000-10,000 students back in 1980, and now it's about 20,000 students, continues to grow. Division I athletics, medical school, I think 7 or 8. Schools and also the College of Arts and Sciences. It's a 1,400 plus acres in Oakland County, so that's a little unusual. You don't find a lot of campuses that have the feel that Oakland does, and it just continues to grow. And as far as athletics, we're just trying to just stick with what they're doing.
With Meadowbrook Hall in the middle of it.
Absolutely.
Two world-class golf courses that you're on every day of the week. So what makes Oakland University so special?
Well, I would say it's the people, it's the history, combined with the people that are there that are charting the course with Oakland. The ability, when you bring up Meadowbrook Hall and how Oakland University was formed, it was a It was an estate. It was Matilda Wilson, who was married to one of the Dodge brothers and then married to Alfred Wilson, and gives Michigan State University this estate and a couple of million dollars and say, hey, let's start a honors college for Michigan State. And the next thing you know, it's this vibrant university right in the heart of Oakland County. And you've got people that have been there, and for whatever reason, the number of people that are there 20, 30, and even 40 years, there's a lot to be said for that, and all that knowledge and history that comes along with it, and those people caring to just continue to make that such a vibrant place.
Tracy Huth, you're one of only 343 men and or women who do what you do each day, and that's athletic director of a university. What does an athletic director do each day?
Well, that's a great question, because I think you go into each day and you have this nice A-list of things that you're wanting to do, and you invariably know there's going to be things on a B-list, and somehow a C-list is going to be formed during the course of every day. We're in a position where we're very fortunate to be, again, one of 343 individuals that can do this type of job, and it's representing the institution. It's for us, it's approximately 340 or 50 student athletes. It's coaches, it's staff, it's the academic pursuit. The educational side of it is certainly very important, and you know, we pretty much manage and lead our student athletes through that. It's representing an institution, not only in just the athletic realm, but it's getting everyone involved in the community, whether it's the university or the surrounding community. It's meeting with people, it's engaging with the community, whether it's our student athletes, the faculty, the staff on campus, or people in the surrounding communities, and our alumni especially.
Tracy, what's the biggest thing you've learned as this athletic director?
I think I've learned patience. You need to be patient. You're going to run into a lot of things, a lot of issues that you cannot handle on your own. You need a group of people to do that. So patience is very important. And the art of communication is probably the thing that I've learned, although I knew it was important. You have to be able to communicate, and you're communicating with students, high school students, you're going to elementary schools, you're communicating with your administration, with people in the community. So communication and the level of communication, I think, is something that surprised me a little bit.
In talking to a number of coaches that work under you, the one thing they all say is he's a servant leader. Talk about serving as a leader.
Well, I think that's just part of who I am. I think I was brought up that way, that whatever you do, do it for the people that you're going to be with. And I think I really saw that from my mother and what she did all her life, and not just working, but as a mother that worked and then took care of her kids and was always just serving those people around her, and just the love she expressed for people. I think as what you describe as a servant leader is extremely important to me, because if we're going to have a positive effect on these young people, we have to be showing them what our expectations are of them. So as we're really helping them grow, which is really kind of one of my main responsibilities, I believe, is I'm trying to set them up to where they know that they're going to be involved in a community, engaged in a community. And in order to do that, they're going to have to be able to serve people, and they're going to have to be leaders. We really like to see our student athletes, by the time they leave, we know that they're going to be prepared and that they're going to go out in these communities and do great things.
Your coaches, some are young, a few are very experienced, and you're an uncle, you're a counselor, and you're Mr. No. Every time they talk to you, you know, Trace, if we got more money for this, I could get better athletes, you know, we'd win more. I need a new field. I knew this. They're always asking for more. And your answer is always no. How do you tell them no?
Well, I think it all, there's a balance to it. I believe, and I think the one thing I try to express to our coaches as well is, hey, I've been where you've been. I've coached, I've been a student athlete, I've been in some of these very same situations. Now I'm kind of on the other side. And so it's a balance of trying to get them to understand and try to experience it from the administrative side. And it's being honest with them. You know, this is what we can do. This is what we have. This is the level of importance that all of these things that you bring up have. And if there's things we can do for you, we will. But as you say, Jack, there's a lot of times where you just don't have the resources. It's not the right time. And so I think it's getting them to understand the situation, both from their side as a coach and then also what happens on the administrative side. And that can be tricky sometimes, but I think we do a pretty good job and just communicate with them and be honest with them.
Oakland University's published athletic department's mission is to, and I quote, produce graduates, champions, and friends of the university, unquote. Tracy Huth, how do you and your team do this?
Well, the graduate piece is the educational piece, which is the most important for us. And the first part of our mission talks about aligning with the educational mission of the university. And then we dedicate our energy and resources to the betterment of our student athletes. And the first piece of that then is the academic or the educational piece. So that's the graduates piece of it. And so we expect everyone, coaches, staff, that's first and foremost. Our athletes know when they leave the university, very few of them are going to be involved in professional sports where they're actually participating. So that's first and foremost, and that starts right at home. That starts within the department. And the champions piece is we're competitive. We're all competitive. The discipline of competition, the camaraderie of competition, the wins and losses, the successes, the lessons you learn from competition, that's what we want to do as far as producing champions. And so that's important. And then the friends of the university, that's engaging with the community and whether it's our staff, our coaches, again, our student athletes, and representing Oakland University and Oakland Athletics. We want to build friends. We want to be a part of the community, whether it's Oakland County, Detroit metro area, the state, and just reach across the country.
If you want to learn more, www.oakland.edu. And when we come back, we'll talk about a man that Tracy mentioned in the prior segment, Coach Pete Hovland. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Rasula, and we're with Tracy Huth, Athletic Director at Oakland University. Coach Pete Hovland.
Well, when I talk about Ernie McGlisco, you almost have to talk about Pete, Coach Hovland, as well, because Pete swam for Ernie at Chico, was certainly maybe, again, arguably the best swimmer and one of the best athletes they've ever had at Chico. And so Ernie had called, when Ernie took the job at Oakland, he called up Pete, who was just finishing up his graduate degree at Northern Iowa, asked him if he wanted to take a coaching job. And at that time, Pete was like, well, I can either go back to California and try to find something to do or hook up with my former coach and certainly a mentor. And so Pete ends up coming to Oakland and following Ernie. Ernie stays there a couple of years, leaves. Pete, who had been coaching the women and assisting with the men, is now given the reins of the men's program. So new Pete, obviously. When I arrived in Michigan, the guy that picked me up from the airport, Coach Hovland, was Pete Hovland. So that's really, I guess, when our relationship started. And so I ended up finishing my career at Oakland for Pete. So obviously, coach, mentor, advisor, we become extremely good friends. A little bit different situation now where he's still coaching. Now I'm the athletic director. But I think in my situation, for me, I still supervise swimming and diving, and that allows me to maintain that relationship. And I think we get along very well and certainly have some of the same interests. But it does get tough when you talk about that that coach athletic director relationship. And when you do have to tell someone, well, we can't do this, we can help you here, you know, we run into those situations. So fortunately with Pete, with the relationship that we have, there's a guy that I can bring in to my office and say, give me the pulse of what's going on. Tell me what's happening right now or what you think. And we both have a level of respect for one another that really helps us work well.
A couple of months ago, these two legendary swimming people from Oakland, yourself and Coach Hovland, swam a charity match. And he let you win right at the end. So you went back to competition that for one day. What was that like, and do you miss it?
Well, I think you miss the competition. You always miss that actual competition. There's just something about it. And even that day, other than the fact I knew I was swimming a 400 IM, and what the heck am I doing swimming this 400 IM, there was a real thrill about it. It brought back a lot of memories, and it was just a lot of fun to do. You know, the fact of doing it with Pete, you know, made it kind of special, and you know, to see all the old alums there, and so that made it fun. But I think that competitive spirit is always there. It's the level by how you want to work to get there. And for me, I knew I was going to have to swim this 400 IM, which is one of the more grueling races that you compete in swimming. So I had to make sure that I prepared myself. So a couple months before, I started training. And I started training like I haven't in quite some time. And enjoyed it. But for me, in order to compete, and compete at a high level, I want to be able to do it right. And the ability to find that kind of time amongst all the other things that we do in life and in our jobs made it tough, but it was enjoyable. And it gave me the opportunity really to connect with the swimmers, the student athletes on those teams, like I normally wouldn't be able to do. And then just the support that they were giving. And that competitive juice has definitely got flowing. It was a lot of fun.
Year in and year out, Tracy, Oakland University's men's and women's swimming and diving program is one of the premier programs in the country, bar none. How'd that happen?
I really think that goes back to the history of the program from day one. Swimming and diving was really the first organized sport. They were the men's swimming and diving was the first team to ever compete at Oakland. And then at the time, Holly Lepley, who was the first athletic director, hired a guy by the name of Corey Van Fleet, who was a very successful high school coach, Birmingham Seaholm, at the state level, ran a very successful swim camp, Camp Corwood. And Corey came in and established a program of success, brought in a lot of really good and talented student athletes. And then right after Corey, you follow that up with Ernie. And then Ernie kind of took it to another level as far as the student athletes and the focus and the ability to have that level of success in the pool. And then, of course, Pete, who, you know, Coach Hovland came, and he was, as far as Ernie goes, it was like not missing a beat. And Pete has built that program, as you said, into just a premier program, the stability. And again, when we talk about passion, Pete, I believe, has as much passion today as he had when I was swimming. And so when you have a coach that has that, and you have the swimmers, you have the alumni, you have the parents that care about the program, and the university takes pride in that program. As you said, year in and year out, you look at what that program does, what they do in the classroom, what they do in the community, and then obviously what they're doing in the pool and on the diving boards. It's been spectacular, and I'm just pleased to be a part of it and support it.
Let's talk about the rise of Oakland University's men's basketball program.
Well, which for me has been a lot of fun, because as a former swimmer and all that, I've always loved basketball, played it as a kid, knew early on I didn't have the talent, so that's when I better just stick with the pool. But I've always just loved basketball and just being around that sport. It's just the team sport, you know, what you see coming out of there as far as the strategy and everything else. At Oakland, I mean, when I started as a student there, basketball, you know, we'd all just go show up. It was just to have some fun, and you knew the guys on the team, and, you know, if they had a winning season, great. And things just kind of went along that way. And then all of a sudden, Greg Campy shows up. Very competitive guy, as you know. It doesn't matter whether you're basketball, golf, tiddlywinks, Greg Campy is, he wants to win. And over the years, how we built that program into a Division II power, then we make the transition to Division I. One thing we knew in swimming, we could make that transition to Division I, and we were still going to be pretty good because we had student athletes involved in that program that would already be successful at Division I. We didn't know that with basketball. And Greg Campy just made that adjustment, and you got to give him a lot of credit for that. All of a sudden, he starts building this program, starts getting these student athletes coming in, and lo and behold, within a few short years, we make the NCAA tournament. And that just kind of changed everything, the exposure that brought for us. We host a first and second rounds of the NCAA tournament the following year. That brings even much more notoriety and exposure. People are starting to notice. And then the next thing you know, Coach Campy's building this program that goes to the NCAA tournament 2 years in a row. A lot of Division I programs around for 30, 40, 50 years aren't making the Division I tournament. And he's doing it, you know, inside of 7, 8 years and just establishing now this legacy and this consistency of winning to where people expect it. If we don't make the tournament now, people are disappointed. Whereas all those years, we were just hopeful we could make the tournament. So that tells you a lot about the success of that program and someone like Coach Campy. And certainly on the women's side, we've had a lot of success as well with Coach Francis and what she's done.
In a couple of weeks, you've got another exciting venture, opportunity. Talk about that.
Well, we will be hosting the second and third rounds of the NCAA Men's Basketball Championship at the Palace of Auburn Hills. We did that back in 2006. Here it is, 2013. It's hard to believe. It's just, you know, the 7 years has gone by. We were fortunate enough to get it this year. One of the greatest sporting events you could ever be involved in is the NCAA basketball tournament. You know, the Final Four is obviously the spectacle that everybody really watches. But when you're hosting and you're right there and you've worked on that, it's really something special to be involved in. And in 2006, I was a tournament manager, so I was really hands on. We won't be able to participate at the Palace if we make the tournament, but we are hoping and we would love to have some of our local teams come to the Palace. And if they do, if you get a Michigan State, Detroit, any of those programs that are at the Palace, it's going to be a lot of fun and a pretty crazy time.
If you want free tickets from the Director of Athletics, www.oakland.edu. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Krasula, and we're with arguably the most accomplished student athlete in Oakland University history, and today, the Director of Athletics at Oakland University. Tracy, two of your heroes are Lou Holtz and Zig Ziglar. Talk to us, if you will, about Lou Holtz.
Well, I think Lou Holtz and even Zig Ziglar, two of the greatest men I've ever been around or seen speak. I wish I had the ability to capture an audience the way either of those two men did. But as far as Lou Holtz, certainly because he was involved in sports and football, and here's a little guy. What his level of athletic talent is, I don't particularly know, but you know, when you used to see him marching on the sidelines and he's looking up at those big 300-pound linemen and he's just, you know, kind of telling them how it's going to be and what's going to happen, when you look at the kind of respect that his players had for him, you have to look at that and you have to admire that. And that comes from something, or he's affecting those young men, obviously in a very positive manner. So when you look at someone like Lou Holtz and you look at the things that he believed in, doing things the right way, always do your best. you know, never settle for anything other than the best that you can do in whatever you decide to do. And then I think without a doubt, you'd have to look at all the people he's touched to know that he cared about people deeply and continues to care about people deeply to this day. So I believe in that. That's what I was in a household where those were all very important. And I know another one of his things was about trust. And, you know, that's pretty much how my dad lived. I mean, it was all based on respect, on trust, and you were always a gentleman no matter the situation that you were in. And to me, that was Lou Holtz.
Zig Ziglar.
Zig Ziglar, the philosophy about you can get anything in life that you want if you help others get what they want, seems like a fairly simple statement. I think what it tells me is things don't have to be as complex as we make them. I think it's that tells me for Zig Ziglar, build relationships, very important. Again, same sort of thing, show people you care, help people, assist people, be a servant to people, and communicate with them well, and you'll get to the places that you want to go.
Speaking of heroes, you mentioned one right at the start. Your mom is 82.
Yes.
She's lost a husband. She's lost 3 of 4 sons. Talk about this amazing lady.
Wow. Basically a hardworking farm girl from North Dakota that ends up, when my dad was also born and raised in North Dakota. They end up getting married. They move out west and settle in, again, a little town in Yakima, Washington. Worked full-time all her life, supported us wherever we needed to go, did everything in the house, helped my dad with his business. This was a woman that worked however many hours a day that she needed to, and also was involved in worked for the federal government serving people. So that's pretty much what she did all her life. And if I'm going to emulate someone, I'm going to emulate my mother. Sweetest woman in the world, extremely faithful person. And the way I admire her, the way she's always handled any sort of setback in her life, and I don't think she even looks at things as being a setback. That's just a part of life that you've got to be prepared for. So to lose a husband, to lose 3 sons, I have a sister. And the way I even came into this world, which was, you know, certainly not the norm, I admire her and I love her and I always will.
You're around young people every day. And an awful lot of young people, and old people, I guess, are afraid today. Talk to us about the fear that these young people have.
Well, I think the fear a lot of times comes out of the fact that, I thought when I was young, whether it was both my parents, whether it was the teachers I had in school, the people that I was always around, they were not fearful. They were there to assist you and to help you. You didn't have a lot of the threats that we have now. You know, now you say anything, and it might be out in the social media within seconds. The kids today, the level that by which they communicate is completely different, and I think we've missed out a lot on that relative to how we communicate. I mean, we didn't have cell phones and Twitter accounts and the Facebook as the major forms of our communication. For instance, when I needed to communicate with my parents, I had to go speak with them, with a coach, with a teacher, with whomever. And that's what you did. Now there's all these different ways that you can communicate, and I think it's taken away from how we're educating our kids. And I think that's something that we've got to get our hands around. And so they don't have a fear. They don't worry about what kind of a world am I going into. They're going to go into a world where they're seeing people and they're making eye contact with people. And they can go into that world without fear and then be able to not only support themselves, but support a lot of other people.
What advice would you give parents, Tracy, of young athletes today?
Well, my advice to them would be support your children to the level that they want to participate and are capable of participating. Again, there's only so many Michael Jordans. There's only so many Michael Phelpses that are out there. Athletics needs to be used with as part of our educational process. It's an opportunity for parents to get connected with their kids, not try to get them to a level that might not be possible. And so use athletics as a vehicle for you to communicate with your children, experience discipline, experience the ups and downs of their childhood or their young adult years. And rather than trying to be a coach themselves, we need our parents to be parents with their kids that are participating in athletics. And I think we have lost some of that.
Tracy Huth, as our time winds down this evening, what advice would you give to our young listeners tonight?
Well, first and foremost, education is the key. You need to do well in school and let that be the springboard for whatever you do. The other things that you participate in, even when you participate in athletics or you're going to play an instrument or you're going to go out and do something, it's all based on learning. So be prepared to learn, be willing to learn, and make sure your education is first and foremost. And then, again, I think with our young kids today, it's the forms of communication. Speak to people. You know, be personable with people. And I think they'll find out that their relationships will be a lot better.
Tracy Huth, you said a few minutes ago that there's just a few Michael Jordans and just a few Michael Phelps. There's only one Tracy Huth. Please keep up the great work. Thanks for all you do.
Thank you, Jack. Appreciate it.
Please join us next Sunday. Until then, I'm Jack Rasula. Thanks for listening. And make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spahome.